point this morning, and you began to bring this to my attention yesterday afternoon as you saw this unfold, this issue specifically, some others as well, the way votes were recorded, or more to the point, not recorded in the Georgia Senate. You got some procedural issues here.
Yes, Jim, and I appreciate the time. This is extremely important because what I have learned from my 12th year of being a fixture in the Georgia Capitol is that most people don't know how their government works. So here's a little education, because one more day of session left. When the Senate goes through amendments, like a floor amendment that would alter a bill to stop giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens, they have an unrecorded raise-your-hand vote on whether or not to vote on the amendment on the machine, or alternately, to have another unrecorded hand vote. So we have senators who are saying they support stopping giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens, for example, who say they support it, but they will not vote to have their vote recorded on the machine. So you have, you have an unrecorded hand vote on whether or not we're going to have an unrecorded hand vote on very important measures. And then it takes one senator to suggest, to make a motion, to say we want this vote recorded on the machine forever so that the public can always go back and see how each senator voted.
And you think the system right now is problematic because?
I think it's problematic because if you have 12 sponsors on a bill that would stop giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens, but you can only find four of them to support mm-hmm. a machine-recorded vote, you have some hanky-panky going on there.
We should distinguish here, talking with D.A. King, this is different from some things you might from time to time get by acclamation if they do that. We'll call this Vidalia Onion Day. We'll designate it Vidalia Onion Day. That sort of thing. Okay, voice vote, all in favor, and everybody is, and then we move on. This isn't what you're talking about.
No, it's not. And part of this, people who don't care about the immigration issue, I think they certainly care about the transportation issue. I had to leave the Capitol, but part of the transportation issue had an amendment or a vote that was done by a what's called rise, stand, and be counted. It's an uncounted hand vote. So it takes, to get a machine-recorded vote, it takes any senator to stand up and say, I want a machine-recorded vote. The president of the Senate, Casey Cagle, then has the opportunity to say, okay, but you need five other senators to support that motion. It takes six. So then the president of the Senate says, do you want a machine vote or a hand vote? And then he counts how many people support the machine-recorded vote. Yesterday, on the transportation part of it and the driver's license part of it, they could only find four senators who were willing to have a machine-recorded vote. That is four senators out of 56.
You know, this is an interesting transparency issue that I'd never considered before. I didn't know this was a thing. So is there anything that curious people can do to actually find out this information? Or do we have to rely on, you know, people like you who will come on the radio and say, hey, guys, this is how it works?
You literally have to have people in the gallery, Katie, looking, and you have to have three people, one in the center and one on each side, before you have the ability to see the entire chamber. I have been in there several years ago. It was an immigration vote, but three of us watched state senators go underneath the balcony to do their hand-recorded vote.
Wow.
Excuse me, their unrecorded hand vote, so that we could not see them from the gallery. This is what goes on in that Capitol these days.
And these are the folks that they can go back to their districts and claim anything they want to in terms of how they cast a vote.
Right. And then the deal works out quite simply is, I put my name on this bill, and then you go to the leadership and say, whatever you do, do not call this bill up.
We'll circle back a couple of minutes we have left here, D.A. King, the driver's license thing, because you and I have had this conversation before. We'll share it with the rest of the state here very briefly. My argument is this, and understand that in terms of polling, I'm going to be on the short end of this argument. Nonetheless, here it is. You're concerned about all these people who are here in an undocumented fashion. By giving them a driver's license, we're solving that problem. We are documenting them. We know who they are, where they are, where they live, what they look like. We got their picture. What's wrong with that?
We have a system in place to do that for people coming into our country. It's called a visa. So it's right back to where you and I always split on this, is are we going to continue to encourage people in the country illegally to embed in our system and have the same privileges and ability to blend in as American citizens and the immigrants who come here lawfully?
Okay, so another question. I guess let's pretend that this comes up again tomorrow, the last day of the legislative session, and it passes, and suddenly, children who are brought to the United States illegally can no longer get driver's licenses. What problem would that solve?
Well, it would solve the problem of the fact that it's not just, quote-unquote, the children. Obama has also expanded his DACA to not have an age limit. So we had 50-something-year-old illegal aliens applying for DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. But he's also expanded it to DAPA, D-A-P-A, for the parents. Pew Hispanic says that if the court case fails in Texas, that Georgia alone, of the 4 to 5 million estimated nationwide, Georgia would have 190,000 minimal, another 190,000 illegal aliens who would be eligible for a driver's license, state ID card, and public benefits.